Well, amen. Thank you so much. I hope that you all enjoy that 22 minutes as much as I do. Thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. I look forward to it each Sunday. I'm thankful that you selected me for this and called me to this, and it's an honor to be here before you. I truly mean that, and I'll do my best to provide a fresh word each week that we can take with us and apply to our lives. Turn to Genesis 1:1. In a moment, I'll start there and build from there. Let me just remind you that we're in a series of messages from now and running for several weeks called Faith Essentials. The book is out on the little $5 book rack. Take one for yourselves. If there's someone that you think could benefit from this, someone that you think would read this, it will be helpful. I told you the little story behind this. Several years ago, I got burdened that people don't know what they believe anymore. And, you know, they couldn't describe the difference between a Christian and a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or whatever that might be. And we need to be able to do that. We need to know what we believe, especially our young people. And so here's this little book, Faith Essentials, Genesis 1:1. There was a little boy in kindergarten, and his kindergarten teacher gave the class an assignment. She said, I want you to all draw something, illustrate something that is extremely important to you. So off they went, and everybody was through except little Johnny. He was still writing, so the teacher walked over to his desk and said, Johnny, I see you're not through. You're working feverishly. What are you doing? And he said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And she said, oh, Johnny, you know, nobody knows what God looks like. And he said, oh, they will when I get through. Well, when I get through here in 30 minutes, you may not know what God looks like, but hopefully you will be inspired and encouraged by a message that draws us closer to him. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. Guide me through this message, Lord. To think about preaching a message on God in 25 or 30 minutes seems insurmountable, but Lord, I pray that we would just get a taste of your glory and your blessings. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Minimize distractions. Draw us to you, I pray, in thy name. Amen. I remember as a young pastor, I'd really only been pastoring a couple of years, and I received a call and did my trial sermon at the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Bremen, Kentucky, Muhlenberg County. If you remember John Prine, Muhlenberg County and Paradise and all of that. I spent 7 years there. But I never will forget when I preached that trial sermon, an elderly man, and I mean, he was elderly then. He was one of the founding fathers, I do believe. And he came up to me and he said, we've got ourselves a teacher. We've got ourselves a teacher. And I thought, I didn't know whether that was a compliment. I didn't know how to take that. But looking back on it after, you know, 20-something years, I take that as a great compliment because, you know, you want to hear preaching. Step on our toes, preacher. I know that preacher, he can preach the paint off the walls. And that's all good. You want to hear inspiring messages. But don't you want to learn something? Don't you want to take something with you? Don't you want to be able to say, I never thought of it that way before. I learned something. You see, there is a matter of inspiration, and we need to be inspired, but we also need to be informed by way of information. So I'm bringing you a message on, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there are three questions. I'm watching my time. This is going to be very difficult. Pray for me, but I'll try to just be crisp and not chase rabbits. We're going to answer three questions. You ready for this? What does God do? Who is God? What is God? What does God do? Who is God? What is God? You think we can do that in 30 minutes? We'll try. What does God do? Two things primarily. God does thousands of things, hundreds of thousands of things, but God primarily creates. And when I say creates, I mean He creates originally. Go back to Genesis 1:1, and it wouldn't hurt to read that again, would it? It doesn't hurt from time to time to go back and read the creation account. I never had a problem with that. You know, I've probably always been a little more interested in terms of theology and interest in the end times and things that are coming. I just never had a problem with that. Now, I love the ark and the creation theories, but it just never was a problem for me. God did it. That settles it. And if anything, I don't want to get controversial here, but if anything, as time goes on, I've become a young earth person, and you'll know what that means if you want to study it. I won't get all strung out on that. But God did it. That settles it. And so God created originally. Are you with me on that? But also I want you to notice something else. God creates continually. What do I mean by that? I mean, God is still in the process of creating. There is no doubt in my mind that God is still creating new galaxies. God is still creating new stars. There are things that are being developed. Don't tell me it all happened once, you know, thousands of years ago or hundreds of thousands of years ago or whatever, and it's not happening anymore. Of course, it is still happening, right? Do you have a problem with that? I don't. God is still creating galaxies. God is still creating species, plants, and animals. That hasn't stopped. I think scientists would tell you, and people that study those kind of things, that new species are being developed. New plants are emerging upon the scene. But that's not really most important, is it? You know what else God is doing? God is continually creating those that are created in His image. What is the crown jewel of God's creation? You know what that is? Us, you and me. Human beings are the crown jewel of God's creation. God loves people more than anything. Only people, only you, only me. People, human beings are created in the image of God. And guess what? I Googled this too. Hundreds of thousands of new human beings are emerging on the scene every day. So are you with me on that? God creates originally. God creates continually. What else does God do? God sustains. God sustains. About year 2000, we bought our first home. We were 40 years old. We'd been married for 17 years before we bought our first home, and we loved it. We lived in it for 17 years. But you know what I discovered about home ownership? It is a great responsibility. You know that, don't you? It is a huge responsibility to keep it up. Taxes and insurance and all of those things. You see, it needs to be maintained. It needs to be sustain, and it is a lot of work, and it is a lot of money. I've discovered this. People love to create stuff, but not everybody wants to sustain things. Though, anybody been on the building and grounds committee here? Raise your hand if you've been on the building. You're a trustee. Anybody? You know what it's like, don't you? It is something that not everybody discovers. You can build a big and beautiful building like this, but you also discover that it costs thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars to maintain such a building. Churches are in crisis all around our land because they have these huge buildings. They need new roofs. They need new HVAC systems. They need new carpet. They need to be remodeled. What point am I making? I'm making the point that God creates. God also sustain. Psalm 55:22 said, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. So wrapping up question number one. And the point is this. God will sustain you. You're here for whatever reason. You've drifted away. For whatever reason, you carry a burden with you here this morning. Know that God not only created you, but he didn't create you to hang out there high and dry. He created you, and he will also sustain you. Now, there we go. Are you with me on that? That was point number one. And that wasn't so painful, was it? That went pretty swiftly. They won't all go that swiftly. But what does God do? God creates, God sustains. Now, the second question, who is God? Oh, my goodness. In a word, listen to this very carefully. God is a person. Did you know that? God is a person. Why do you say that? Because the Bible says that God has an intellect. God has a will. God possesses emotion. The Bible later on in Genesis 1 says God created man in his image. So if we're created in his image, we're emotional beings, we're beings with will, then we know that God possesses that as well. Jesus said this, and boy, did it get him in trouble. Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And I'll give you a little hint. Next week's message is on Jesus. He who has seen me has seen the Father. God is a person. Now, let's go a little deeper. God is a person. God is three people. Preacher, now what are you doing? Where are we going with this? You're getting a little nervous? Because he is a triune God, right? What designates Christianity? What makes Christianity unique? The belief in the Trinity. The belief in the Trinity. Not three individuals. Listen to me very carefully. Remember, I'm not only bringing inspiration, but I'm bringing information. Not three individuals. Three personal distinctions within one divine essence. Let's go a little deeper with that and talk about the Trinity. Do you realize that that is a word that never appears in the Bible? You've heard that, haven't you? It is true. Look it up. Look in your concordance. The word Trinity never appears in the Bible, and yet it is certainly implied. The Bible says Jesus, given the Great Commission, go and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We sing that song, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God in what? Three persons, blessed Trinity. If you're having trouble with this, I didn't bring one today because I was afraid I would drop it and make a big mess on the carpet. But I want you to think of an egg. I want you to think of an egg, okay? Can so you picture that? I have an egg. So an egg consists of what? The yolk, the white, and the shell, right? But it is an egg. So there is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, deity. There are other ways that you can illustrate this, but I like to think of that egg, yolk, white, and shell. The Father is the fountain of deity. He originates. The Son is eternally represents the Father who reveals, if you will. He is the only Son of the Father, and the Spirit execute. I like to think of the Spirit as boots on the ground. Where's Jesus today? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Who's here? The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is working. I certainly sensed him the minute I walked in the door, and it's only escalated since then. God. Who is God? He is a person. He is the Trinity. He is it possesses a will and an intellect and emotion. All right, there we are. It's 10:37. We've answered two big questions already, haven't we? What does God do? Who is God? Now, we're going to take about the next 20 minutes or so and answer that third question, and that is this. What is God, if you will? And I told you the emphasis today is on teaching rather than preaching. The emphasis today is on information as opposed to inspiration. Hopefully we get both. But what is God? God is spirit, okay? God is spirit. He is invisible. The Bible talks about the hand of God and the face of God, but it is speaking metaphorically, if you will. We know that God is invisible. God possesses no physical body in and of himself. You say, wait a minute. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. He told the woman at the well there in Samaria, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's difficult for some, isn't it? That's difficult for many across the world because they want to worship something, someone that we can see. They want to worship something or someone that they can smell or someone they can touch. But God is spirit. God is invisible. And that's where faith comes in. Thank you, Chip and band, for choosing those songs, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. God is spirit. We got about 7 or 8 of these. So just buckle your seatbelt, listen closely. What else? God is holy. God is holy. What does that word holy mean? We like to say what? Holy means set apart. God is holy. As someone said, holiness is the sum total of the perfection of God. Perhaps the most comprehensive of all God's attributes. God is holy. And the Bible says, you be holy because he is holy. Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. You remember what happened then? The children of Israel just crossed the Red Sea. They had escaped Egyptian bondage, and the waters had come in and flooded over Pharaoh's army. And then what did they do? They sang. They celebrated. And they said, who is like you among you, the gods of the Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? God is holy. So you have that. So what is he? He's spirit. And he is holy. And you know what else? God is omnipotent. What does that mean? Don't you love that? When I say omnipotent, what do I mean? All-powerful. Think of it as this, omnipotent. What do we think of when we think of potent? We think of strong. God is omnipowerful. There is nothing that he cannot do. Do you remember what Gabriel said to Mary? She said, how can this be? I've not had relations with anyone. How can I give birth to this Son of God that you speak of? And the angel said what? Nothing is impossible with God. Remember that if you remember nothing else from this sermon today. Nothing is impossible with God. You're facing a big mountain. You're staring it right in the face, and you think there's no way out of this situation that I'm in. But there is a way, because God will provide a way. Nothing is impossible with God. There was another little boy. He was on a plane. And he was studying his Sunday school lesson, and there was a man that was, he was so touched by that, and he thought he'd have a little fun. And he said, son, if you tell me just one thing that God can do, I'm going to give you a shiny red apple. The little boy looked at the man and said, sir, if you can tell me one thing God can't do, I'll give you a bushel of red apples. Now, why is that? Because there's nothing God can't do. God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine. You got that down? Are you learning anything new today, or we're just reviewing things you already knew? Either way, it's good, isn't it? What else is God? He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. That means he is everywhere at once. And for this, I go back to Psalm chapter 139 with David, who says, "Where can I go from your presence? Or where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me." God is everywhere. Isn't it amazing? He's here. He's in Asia. He's in Africa. He's in South America. He's in Europe. He's all around. And not just on the earth, but in the heavens and the universe and everywhere. There's no place that God isn't, because he is omnipresent. Are you with me? Nobody falling asleep yet? You're all right there. What else is God? God is omniscient. Now, what does that mean? That means all knowing. God knows everything. He knows what I'm going to say up here from this pulpit even before I say it. He told Jeremiah, "Even before you were in the womb, I knew you. I knew you were going to be there, and I knew you were going to emerge as one of the great prophets and spokespersons of the Old Testament and in all of the kingdom." Because God is all knowing. God is omniscient. Go back to David. And he says in 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all." Isn't that amazing? He has the very hairs on our head numbered. He knows our thoughts. He knows the attitudes of our hearts and the motives of our lives. And we can't hide from him, can we? You can run, but you cannot hide, because God is everywhere. God is all-knowing. And Jesus, it's interesting, Jesus possessed these attributes. One of the fascinating things about the gospel ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus, is he was 100% man, but he was 100% God. And how often did he demonstrate those godly attributes? How often did he demonstrate deity? Well, there was one example when he was challenged by the Pharisees. He healed a demon-possessed man. And the Bible says, "And knowing their thoughts," Jesus said, "any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste." And knowing their thoughts. You see, Jesus, he knew their thoughts, because he could read the minds of men. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was God in the flesh. But Jesus understood their thoughts, and he knew their thoughts, and he was able to respond in such a way. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. Now listen to this. This is so good. I'm so thankful for this. You know what else God is? There's a couple of more. Three more. Four more. We're going to get done. God is immutable. You know what that means? That's just a fancy way of saying God is what? Unchanging. God is unchanging. That's what the Bible says. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. People change, don't they? What did those people say when Jesus came in to the Jerusalem during that final week? "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But just 6 or 7 days later, what were they saying? Some of those same people were saying what? "Crucify him! Crucify him!" What happened? People change. I'll tell you, as a pastor, you're going to hear this from time to time. You know, just some of my old war stories. Mostly good. Mostly good. 95% good. But I want to tell you, there's some wounds in here. And you know, part of it is people who changed. I remember a guy, I'm not going to name names, but boy, when he took me to lunch, we bowed on our knees together and prayed. I've already mentioned him, I think. But then he started to take on a little power in the church. He became a deacon. He got on a committee. And he started listening to the wrong voices. And he changed. And I'll tell you, I still love the guy, but if I was discussing and conversing with him right now, it would be awkward. It would be awkward. And yet here was a guy that we were down on our knees praying together, pouring out our hearts to God for great lengths of time up in these Sunday school rooms at the church. What happened? He changed. I remember a preacher that he said he loved woodwork. He loved woodwork because he could lay it down, go back 3 or 4 days later, and pick up right where he left off. But he said, people aren't like that. People change, don't they? You know anybody who's changed? You don't have to raise your hand. That's an obvious question. But God does not change. God is the same yesterday, today. And I'm glad about that, aren't you? I'm glad that it's still through Jesus Christ that we are saved. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad that he didn't change the rules in the middle of the stream? Aren't you glad we don't have to wake up and say, now how are we going to be saved today? What's his message for today? Is there a new Bible for today? No, there's not a new Bible. There's the Word of God that's going to stand forever and ever and ever. I'm watching my time. I want you to listen, though. This is important stuff. This is 27 minutes about God. You know what else God is? Listen very carefully. God is eternal. Now listen to this, because I think God gave me this. I really, he revealed something to me that I'd never read in a book. I'm not stealing or copying from anyone. It's a little illustration, and it comes from geometry. Are there any math teachers in here? Are you a math teacher? Do you know the difference between a ray and a line? Any geometry people? What is a ray? What is a ray? It's got a point on one end and an arrow on the other, right? Which means it has a beginning, but it has no end. That's us. I'm not buying into Mormon theology. I'm not buying into a pre-existent life. I wasn't a horse before I became a person. I'm not into reincarnation. There was a time when I wasn't, but there never will be a time when I won't be. And that's what we need to tell people, you know. When there's somebody out there, you need to tell people, do you realize, sir, that 100 billion years from now, your soul is still going to be alive. 100 billion years from now, you'll either be in heaven or you'll be in hell. You'll either be on this new earth, we'll be even be more specific. We don't know when Jesus is coming in, but 100 billion years from now, you'll either be on the new earth as a believer and worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll be lost in a sinner's hell because we are a ray. Will you believe that? You see what I'm saying? If you tell me that you had no, that you've always been here, I won't buy that. There was a time when you weren't, but there will never be a time when you won't be. But God in the other end is what? He's a line. What's a line? It's got an arrow on both ends, right? God always has been. God always will be. Is that hard to wrap your mind around? It's not that hard, is it? He always has been, always will be, because he is eternal. I'm not. There was a time when I wasn't. There's never been a time when God wasn't. There's never been a time when Jesus wasn't. There's never been a time when the Holy Spirit wasn't. There was a time when Adam wasn't. There was a time when Eve wasn't. And on down the line we go. Are you with me? We're wrapping it up. It's important stuff. God is eternal. God is sovereign. Now, that's a message in and of itself, isn't it? That's a series of messages. The sovereign God, the psalmist said in 115 chapter 3, our God is in heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Oh my goodness, reams of stuff has been written on this, right? Countless sermons have been preached on the sovereignty of God, and I'm not going to get into arguments with you over this. I've learned I'm not arguing about theology, but he will never nullify the free will of his people. He will never act contrary to his own nature. Let me give you a great illustration. You see, and we're wrapping it up, and I want you, when I think of the sovereignty, there's so many examples of God's sovereignty, but from the Bible, let's talk about Joseph, right? Look from an earthly standpoint. From an earthly standpoint, Joseph was the favored son, right? With the coat of many colors. He was, his brothers were jealous of him. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. You know, then he was falsely accused by the Potiphar's wife. He ended up in prison. They forgot him. Remember, the baker forgot him, and he stayed there for 2 more years. And I'm describing all of this from an earthly standpoint, right? Oh, poor Joseph. Poor Joseph. Hapless Joseph. But don't you see the sovereignty of God? Joseph, in some ways, is like an Old Testament picture of Jesus. Joseph ended up second in command of Pharaoh, right? Joseph ended up in Egypt where his people came, right? Jacob and the people came and they started with 70 and they grew to millions. Don't you see the sovereignty of God? I tell you what, I think we're going to look back on this year, 2020. Oh my God. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? It's been a tough year, and it's not even over yet. It's getting even more complicated by the day. But I think we'll look back and see the sovereignty of God. I'm not going to say it's God's judgment. Did the virus originate with God? No. It's satanic. It's evil. It's of the devil. But he allowed it to happen, right? Because there's nothing that happens in God's sovereignty without his permissive will. God is sovereign. Please understand that. Good will come from this. And we'll look back years from now, and we'll, I think it will be clearer to us. These kind of things have happened all throughout the history of our nation. God is sovereign, okay? Are you with me on that? I hope you haven't lost track. One final thing and we're done. And you know what it's going to be, right? What have I not said yet? This is a whole other sermon. This is a whole other series of sermons. This is a whole other book. God is, what have I not talked about yet? Love. Preacher, how could you go through 30 minutes of a sermon and not say God is love? Because I saved the best. God is love. I could say God loves, but that's insufficient, right? That's describing something he does, but it's more than what he does. It's who he is. God is love. One final story and we're done. There was a peasant farmer, poor, barely eking by, but he was a dedicated believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a little weather vane on top of his barn, his old dilapidated barn in desperate need of repair. And it was a windy, stormy day, and the old town miser, the richest man in town, who came through on his fancy coach, and he saw that weather vane spinning around that said God is love. And he said, ah, looks like to me your message is God is as changeable as the wind. And he said, no, no, sir. What that says is no matter which way the wind blows, God. Father, we thank you for who you are. It's just humbling. It's to even get up and try to even preach a message such as this, Lord, it's a human, merely human, Lord. It's almost an insurmountable task. Lord, but it is a message brought. We do believe that you are holy. We do believe that you are eternal. We do believe that you love us, Lord. We've not lost faith in you. We've not lost confidence that you are here. Lord, help us during these times. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together as our musicians lead us in this closing time. I'll be here. The altar is open. You come as we sing.